This is the Tan Talk Radio Network. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the WNCA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now.
Your Honor.
Let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
Welcome to hour number 2 of On the Tee, Florida, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka and, of course, Sea Dogs Brewery, Shipyard Brewing as well. And, of course, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole, Clubhouse Studios. I've got a couple of simulators up here. I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, and John Rager up there in St. Augustine Beach. Traveling south through the backwoods of Georgia right now is our other pro, Bill Buttner. And Tom Gribben had responsibilities this second hour, but we've got plenty to talk about in this hour. We're also going to have a conversation with... He's the PGA Tour Manager for Strixon and Cleveland. That's Rob Waters, and he's a friend of John Rager, so we'll talk to him, get his perspective. Pretty cool. He's got some guys on the bag that are in the hunt this week. I'm sure that they enjoy that portion of their job, and we'll talk to him. I got a buddy in Iowa that was with them for years, Pat Dunphy. I'm sure that he knows Rob. But let's get back to the traveling road show that is Dylan Hogan and Bill Buttner as they come, they head towards that Florida border. Hey, by the way, fellas, I know you're not watching it, but you've got the scores. You see Scottie Scheffler right now just creeping up, sitting at 6 under, 1 behind Bryson DeChambeau.
Did we lose him?
Bill Buttner? Remember, he said he's in the backwoods.
he may have gotten caught speeding in Pierce County, Georgia. I know that that route very well. He might be sitting in the courthouse right now while they're all gathered in a jail cell while they're all watching the Masters, and he's not going to be able to bail out until they're finished watching the broadcast.
He was just on hold. I'm sure Juan will take care of that. Hey, let's go over a couple of after they teed off. I like to look at these predictions, prognosticators, especially from the New York Post. You know how much I love that sports page. But they had Brooks Koepka winning. They said the best opportunity, Victor Hovland. I think a lot of people are expecting Victor Hovland, who hasn't been seen anywhere in 2024 to make a move. Don't know if that's happening, but the best triple digit long shot, Sergio Garcia. And I didn't see how Sergio played today or if he's out there on the course right now. I'll look that up as we continue. But some interesting picks that they provide. Brooks Koepka, headline says, finally has it mastered, the Florida State Seminole. But now he's a father. He's calmed down. He looked pretty fatherly yesterday with his son out there on the par 3. Thought that was kind of cool. His wife alluded to the fact that wished the fans knew him at home, Brooks, and not just this villain perspective that they typically think he is. But he did look a lot of change, and being a father will change a young guy who's a little smug, a little cocky, and that's good to see in Brooks' case.
Well, it's really tough to be able to pick a favorite for any major championships, because you're always going to go with the favorite. And we're experiencing something special with Scottie Scheffler because everybody's picked him. Okay, so, in fact, if you go to the Masters app, there's a fantasy golf league out there, and I picked him. And while Bill Stroh, he's my nemesis on the Masters golf app, but he picked Scottie Scheffler also. I picked Xander Schauffele, who is doing fairly well. And what they do in the Masters app with fantasy golf, they do a Stableford system. They do points. So you get one for bogey and two for par, and then it jumps up to five for an eagle, eight for a double eagle. So you play on a point system. So while Bill's picks, he picked Batia, who just won last week to get in to the Masters, who's having a decent Masters tournament. He picked John Rahm and he picked Roy McIlroy. So it looks like he's kept a slight lead on me in the On the Tee Florida Golf League on the Masters app. And one of the things cool about the Masters app too, that it's not this is not like a big time money making thing. This is more just for pride, because they do have some really nice prizes. I mean, first place prize in this fantasy league, picking your favorites, is like $2,500 worth of stuff out of the golf shop at Augusta National. So that's pretty cool. But they only pay like three or four prizes. It's not like 100 people win. But it is difficult, because as we all looked at our picks, I know that during the week, you know, again, Tom Gribbins, you know, was on the Victor Hovland bandwagon. And but, you know, you start looking at trying to pick. I think that Bill had Scottie Scheffler, but he had Aberg, who was a rookie out there and just out of college last year. Kerry McNally had Wyndham Clark against the field, so that looks good. But, Mike, you know, you're a man of wisdom, and you said Scottie will get his second green jacket. You said the Tiger will make the cut, which, hey, if he does make the cut, this will be the longest streak of 24. Making the cut. 24, that's right. Hideki Matsuyama, and I'll tell you what, never count him out. You think that Jordan Spieth will be in the top five. So, you know, again, there's so many good players. But this golf course, I think what separates the wheat from the chaff, or the corn from the husk, is the fact that the tournament is really that back nine on Sunday, and you got to be hot on Sunday to win this tournament or be in such a compelling position to be able to hang on. So there's a lot of golf to be played, but it's really windy right now, and so even Scottie Scheffler had a decent tee time to finish early here. So, but well, tomorrow is supposed to be even windier than today, so it's going to be beautiful weather as far as, yeah, no rain or anything, but it's going to be a wind-swept Masters this year.
Well, let's go back to our other pro who can share with us what it was like on those grounds. If you missed him in the first hour, he's Bill Buettner. He's a teaching professional at St. Pete Country Club and a former head coach for the Eckert Triton men and women, and a 15-year veteran of the PGA Tour, and our good friend. And driving back, you got Jackie Gleason on your tail.
Wow.
Chasing you out of Georgia.
I hear you on that one, but it was blustery and blowing out there on the golf course. I can tell you that.
Well, Bill, I was just about, while we were trying to get back in touch with you, I was wanting to give you a warning. Do not speed through Pierce County, Georgia. Just you want to go nice to speed limit through that county.
And Waldo is another place in Florida.
That's right. So, but anywho, so Bill, let's talk about these bunkers at Augusta. You know, when you watch on TV, you know, if they get a good ground level shot, it looks like the lips of these bunkers are well over the heads of the players. And especially if you hit one of those fairway bunkers, you know, it's got to be really tough to get the ball up high enough to get it out of the bunker, much less try to hit it on the green.
Yeah, they seem to be that the sand in there will not plug the ball on the banks. So all the banks roll down to the bottom of the bunker, which are 6, 8, 10 feet deep, which if you get a three-way bunker, you better hit a good shot to get it out. The greenside bunker, obviously, you're just trying to hit to an area, not being the pin. So they are extremely large, and you don't realize that as much space as there is on the golf course and how big they are, the bunkers are, and how deep they are. Truly amazing to watch it.
Well, also from a golf course maintenance perspective, you know, what the viewers don't see when they watch on TV, you can only see this if you go to the tournament and if you happen to catch them while the field's finishing up and they're well behind them. There's a constant team of people out there with rakes in hand, hand raking the sand and dragging it back up to the top of the lip. I mean, it takes like 20 or 30 people every hole just to go through the bunkers. You know, they can't really get those machines in there. They have to hand rake the whole thing and actually pull that sand right on up. And especially with all the rain that you get, the sand's got to be the perfect granular size to get the water to percolate through, or otherwise you get these big erosions. You know, if you tried to do that at a Florida golf course, you have one gully washer and everything's eroded out, it'd take you weeks to repair your bunkers.
Yeah, we did see the guys next to the bunkers on the fairway side ready to rake bunkers out where their leaves fell in it, where the branches fell in, where their players were in there. They lack nothing as far as help. They have so many employees ready to help.
I have a friend of mine that just retired from this, but he was a golf course superintendent. He still is at up at Hawkstone Country Club up in Gainesville. But he apprenticed there, and he spent 25 years volunteering every year. They get superintendents from all over the country that come and volunteer. And so his job was to be on the 15th hole and blow the pine straw or anything that blows on the green and actually do it in between the shots sometimes. And that was his main job. But one of the cool things he just told me the other day is that once you spend 25 years as a volunteer, you're not allowed to volunteer anymore, and they give you 2 tickets for life.
Wow. That is a good thought there. Maybe I do have something to do here in my retirement stage. But I did see yesterday the caddy or the green superintendent or the person in charge of the 16th green picking out all the pine needles off the green and between players just constantly making sure there's nothing on the green.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, and that's probably and don't be surprised, that could be a golf course superintendent at one of the finest clubs in North America, and that's their job. I mean, it's really amazing. What I really like to watch, it, like today's round, it'd be hard to watch it because everybody's going to play till dark. But usually what happens is once they complete the play, and you can see this on the front nine, you might be walking around or something on the fourth hole, no plays there because the last group's on number 10 or something, and all of a sudden you see the parade of fairway mowers, and you might have, you have 15 fairway mowers side by side going down and mowing. And, you know, then you have another 10 mowers mowing the rough. And then you have the people walking the greens bars. You might have an army of 40 people on every hole getting it ready for the next day, even that afternoon while they're not playing on that side of the golf course.
Well, as you guys were talking on 18, Scotty Scheffler went into 18, the big bunker right in front of the green. And so did Rory McIlroy. So I got a chance to see what you were talking about there, John Rager. Well, you're probably watching it live as well.
Well, absolutely. My screen might be a little better. He hit it in the bunker off the tee shot, had to pitch it out in the fairway. Now he's on the front of the green, and he's got this tremendously long putt here. So I'm going to see if he's got a little 3-foot knee knocker there, see what he can shoot today. But, yeah, it's... That's really something. So, Bill, what's your takeaway of that golf course? I mean, the star of the show, obviously, is the players, the tradition, the green jacket, the egg salad sandwiches, all that. But, you know, really, you know, the first time the Masters, my impression was I walked the golf course and I was just enamored by just how difficult it is. And some of the holes you really don't even watch on TV very much are really undulated, really difficult, really long. But when you see the world's best players play them, it's not a pitch and putt. I mean, so, you know, what's your impression? Like, if you went out to play today, not you personally, but let's say an average golfer went out to play, what would they shoot at Augusta?
Oh, no chance. There's no way that you could. We were talking to one of the marshals on the fairway. He was a 6 handicap, and he played a couple of years ago from the back tees and shot 106. And unless you know what you're supposed to do, where you hit it, where you don't hit it, you can spend a week trying to figure out how to get the ball in the hole on the wrong side of the green.
Yeah, I'm amazed, too, as we had Ward Clayton on the last couple shows there talking about his the caddies of Augusta and his new book that he came out with. And these caddies are wearing these jumpsuits. And, you know, I know that, you know, the weather's not too bad up there. The weather's, you know, fairly mild up there, but man, if you get a little heat going on, these people have to be really sweating it. You know, wearing
they're
that
white.
Big heavy
they're,
jumpsuit
they're
out
white.
There.
They're all right. They're white.
Yeah, it might reflect the sun, but they have to wear clothes underneath it too.
Yeah, that's true. You're talking about that book, The Legendary Caddies of Augusta National, and of course another Tar Heel teammate of Bill Buettner's. But I will tell you, I actually, John Rager, you're going to be shocked. I wasn't bright enough to get involved in the fantasy, but I've been watching on the Masters.com site, and that's a big piece of what Ward Clayton does and has for 22 years. That is incredibly easy and impressive, man.
Well, you know, another thing, too, about this tournament for our listeners out there, not only on the Masters.com app, which is just wonderful, you can actually watch every shot played by your favorite player. It's like a three-minute round of golf. You can actually watch every shot hit of a group that you just decide to pick out, whether you play fantasy golf or not. But one of the great reads also during tournament week is the Augusta Chronicle. I know Ward was the sports editor for about 10 years there, but I can tell you that if you go to AugustaChronicle.com up there, and you can get some really great stories, too, that you may not see on the app itself. Yeah, they can be a little bit more forward about some of the background and history and maybe controversy and things that are going on up there. But, yeah, just a wonderful time of the year. And so, Bill, now when you get back and you watch it on TV, my first impression was is when I got back from my first visit to the Masters, it's been quite a while. 1979 was my first visit. And you watch it on television, you get a great appreciation and understanding of what's really going on.
Yeah, I really was on the TV thinking the golf course was small, tight. It was very compact, very similar to the golf courses we have in Florida where you only have 125 acres to build a golf course. They have on this golf course that they must have 220 acres in which they build this golf course. And there's whirls of spin in between some of the holes. When you hit it left on 18, you could hit it 150 yards left if you wanted to and still have a shot at the green. There's so much space at that golf course, and it's all manicured, all taken care of. So it's a miracle that they can do that, but that's what they do there.
Well, what's really impressive, too, is just the service of the volunteers that they do. I mean, if you want to get something to eat, you look and you go, oh, man, there's like 10,000 people online, and you're through in like 2 minutes. They even have people standing at volunteers with the restrooms. They have these little signs up there that says, you're four minutes from this spot. You know, just talking about the innovation and the service and things like that. But when you went into the outdoor golf shop, and it used to be called the outdoor golf shop. I don't know what they call it now, but what was that experience like walking into that shop? Because you know, and the anecdotal explanation of this from people in the know, sources say that they do is just as much in 1 week in that golf shop that they do at a Super Walmart does in a year. What was your impression of the golf shop, and did you see any unique things in there?
Yeah, there were some unique things, but the impressive part is the number of people you put in the golf shop. Because you're lined up Disney-esque outside in those tunnels, I mean those lines, and you got wandered into the inside, and then you curved around and curved around and curved around, and they organize it so quickly that you got in and out within 30 minutes. And you had shirts beyond shirts, hats beyond hats, everything bootloaded, everything different, restocked, it's like any golf shop that's in primo condition at the start of the day, even though they've already spent probably $6 million worth of merchandise. And they talked about doing $10 million a day in merchandise.
$10 million a day?
$10 million a day, and I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, you had at 9:30, you had lines outside the concession. And again, we were only at one concession. Merchandise stand and they follow people in so quickly and they come out with these bags full of shirts and hats and that happens for 7-8 hours. It's amazing.
Well, you know, one of the big phenomena lately, when they talk about merchandise, they sell these gnomes now, and I guess every year they come out with a new gnome. And if you check, if you follow On to Tee Florida on Facebook, LinkedIn, X and Instagram, you'll see our post today was a picture of a gnome, a Masters gnome, out in front of the Ferg's 19-hole clubhouse globe, out in front of the parking lot there down at the.
By the way, bravo on that, John. That was very cool.
But I tell you what, that's the hot ticket. These gnomes, secondary market, people saw them for like $800 on eBay.
There's no question those are a hot item. They sold out the first day. I thought there was a joke when they first talked about it, but they sold out before we could get them. And then today, when we got there early, they were coming out with two and three gnomes and putting them back in their car before 10 o'clock.
I saw a gal on ESPN today, and she went in and did shopping, and she broke it down a little bit. When she walked out of there, of course, she had unbelievable number of bags. You know, it's the ESPN expense account. However, they also have a shipping station right there. So
they do. You can ship stuff.
Yeah, and she's going home tomorrow. She bought all this stuff yesterday, and the shipment already arrived at her home. So that's efficiency at its finest.
Well, there's a local PJ golf professional in the Tampa Bay area. He's retired now. His name's John Johnson, but he still goes up there and works it. And he used to run the Tampa Bay Downs Practice Center. You know, they have a driving range next to Tampa Bay Downs Racetrack, and you could bet on the ponies while you're hitting golf balls. But John was an apprentice up at Augusta National years ago, and he goes back every year. And so his last job that he had working there, and he still might be involved with it, but he was in charge of those packages and shipping. And he told me there's about 7,000 to 8,000 packages a day that get shipped up. I mean, it semi after semi after semi from UPS and FedEx pulls up every day, you know, after the tournament, after the patrons leave, and they load those babies up and they ship them out. And I said, well, how many bags have you lost? I mean, 8,000 bags a day of all this stuff. He goes, we've never lost one. That's, you know, I tell you what, that is unbelievable. We got to put the Augusta National Golf Shop in charge of distribution or something of food to refugees in the Gaza Strip or something, because they get it done, I tell you.
Well, how about U.S. Post Office?
How many people are getting it hand-delivered? Like, I've got a trailer. I had the Rickard credit card, and I came out with my bags on top of bags, throwing it in the trailer, and so now I'm hand-delivering this stuff. And you wait till the freight charge on this one.
You will be rewarded tremendously one day in heaven, brother.
I got to say, Tom, are you there for that one?
How's your wingman now holding up? Hanging out with a legend like you up there. How many autographs did you have to sign today?
Not as many as you would think. I mean, they were turning to other players. I don't know why, but they were turning to other players.
Well, but I tell you what.
I did see Mike Bender up there, so I got to see him. He's over at Lake Mary in Orlando, and got to talk to him a little bit.
He used to be part of Zach Johnson's team.
He still is. He was with Zach on the putting green on the range.
Good.
And we follow him around.
Hey, Bill, I figured out what your what the payment's going to be. You know, we don't have the lovely Patty, that celebrity cart girl, on. So what's going to happen is when you get back, Mike is going to make sure that she goes into that bar and makes you an Azalea cocktail, which is the official cocktail of the Masters. It's made up of lemon juice, pineapple juice, vodka, and grenadine, and it's the official drink of the Masters. So you can substitute gin for vodka for some of the older folks there, but when she gets back, you get back. The next broadcast that you're there, hopefully you're not drinking wine with the ladies, but you're here with us. Patty needs to make you an Azalea cocktail, and Mike Rickard needs to put it on his tab.
As many as you want, Billy Boy.
Wow, I like that. Thank you very much, John.
I'm your agent. I only get 10% of that, so I get a sip, I guess.
I'll even drive your old carcass back over to Pasadena. How about that?
That would be an honor. I mean, that would be, after four or five of those, I'm sure I might need a ride.
we'll just call Dylan and wake his ass up. He goes to bed like at 7 o'clock.
I read a little asterisk by it. It says the CDC says you're only allowed to have three of them.
Oh, gotcha. All right. Hey,
three at a time.
For people that are on the Tiger watch, Tiger just went to 1 under through 8, and as we said, that's great for CBS. It's great for it's the eyeballs. But you know, of late, the women's basketball world has been just drubbing men's sports from a viewership perspective. And if Tiger remains here for all four rounds, I don't know. I don't think that even Caitlin Clark could surpass him.
Well, I'm rooting for him to make the cut and be there because it's very compelling. You know, and I remember last year we did withdraw. I remember it was cold and wet and rainy, and it was really tough on him. And but I think it's just going to be windy. I think the weather's going to be good. They were some of the techno geeks around the range tracking him with his ball speed and club speed and things like that. And he's just as fast and long off the tee as he was in his prime. Just a matter now if he's got the stamina to get up and down those hills. Because, Bill, as you know, when you walk the golf course for the first time and you get way down there at Amen Corner, it's a long haul up a hill to try to get back to the clubhouse. You have to kind of stagger it. You have to stop at a beer stand or something or two on the way. It's a two-beer walk from the Amen Corner all the way up to the clubhouse.
It's totally amazing to me that he teed off in a not a good situation. Being, I think it was 4 o'clock he teed off. The winds were howling. He hasn't been competitive, if you will, for a long time. And for him to be able, like you say again, those hills are a lot steeper than you think. For him to walk up and down those hills in the wind, the ball was being blown by, you know, the putts and everything. It's truly amazing to be 1 under 3.
Well, you know, right now, look at the leaderboard right now. So you've got most of the players in the top 15 that are in, just a few of them hanging around there. But if he gets another couple under par, that's going to be one of the quality rounds of the day playing in those winds.
Well, Bill, I appreciate you taking time to join us. I can't wait to see you back here, your smiling face. We'll take care of you next week with Patty the Cart Girl. Tell Dylan he's more than welcome anytime. But now we got to switch gears to a gentleman who's been up there all week as well, and that's of course John Rager's friend, and that is the PGA Tour manager of Strixon Cleveland, and he's Rob Waters, and he's kind enough to take some time to join us on the Tee Florida.
Good evening, fellas.
Hey, Rob, I'm going to give you the on the Tee Florida golf intro right here. All of our esteemed guests, we do this, okay? Not every guest gets this. Okay, so here we go, everybody. Ready? 4, please. Rob Waters, now driving.
Oh, man. John, I was sitting here thinking, I mean, 40 years ago, golf coach John Rieger. How about that?
So for our listeners out there, Rob was one of my star players as a college golf coach out there. He had, he had like a 24-inch waist or something. I mean, he's the skinniest golfer I've ever coached in my entire life. And Rob did a great job of it. But Rob, 24 years, I understand, as the tour manager for Strixon and Cleveland Golf. And one of the things I did, I pulled up a picture of something I saw on the web here. And it's Strixon bags, and I'm looking at it, and it looks like I got this from your social media, where you lay out these special bags. It looks like most companies do this for the tour players for the Masters. They make up a special bag, you know, a green and white bag. And I'm looking at this lineup here. You got Keegan Bradley, Ryan Fox, Lucas Glover, Brooks Koepka, Shane Lowry, Hideki Matsuyama, and Shep Straka.
You got some horses there.
We do have some horses right now.
So we've never had somebody like you on the show before that's a tour manager for the PGA Tour and the players. What in the world is that job? What do you do?
Sum it up. I mean, Monday we'll get into the trailer, and we have all the product that we need in there, right? So we'll look at the field list. We'll load up balls, gloves, and hats for the guys that are in the field, take them to their locker, and just wait and see what needs to be done. I mean, there's a lot of times I'll get text over the weekend when guys are playing saying, hey, I'm going to need this for next week or that for next week. And for Augusta and for the majors, I mean, all the majors, I try to get within 3 to 4 weeks in advance of what they think they're going to need, whether it's new wedges, a new set of irons, whatever they think that they're going to need, and try to get that to them prior to so that they have time to practice with it, whether it's a week off or, you know, prior to coming to the event. And
so what you try to do is you try to ship that to them in advance, or do you have to lug it with you?
We build it, John. We build it on the trailer, and then there are times, correct, that we ship it to them. Or they'll deliver it. We'll deliver it right to the player. And then once we get on site, I mean, I've got Keegan's the greatest. I mean, he'll shoot me a text and says, hey, Rob. So I replied back, what's going on? He said, hey, where are you? I just want to check my lies and loss. And he usually does that on a Monday so that he can get all his, he knows that's one thing off his checklist, that his clubs are set and ready to go for the event, and he can go and do his practice and do whatever he needs to do prepare for the event.
How many bags a year do these guys go through? You know, staff
bags? As far as equipment, John, probably, I mean, Keegan's pretty good about playing a whole set of irons the whole year. Now, prior to every major, we will build new wedges. And most of the guys are that way. I mean, I go back to the VJ Singh days, right? VJ wanted a brand new set of everything the week before every major because he wanted fresh grooves on everything. But most of the guys are dialed. I mean, you hope by the second or third tour event of the year, these guys are dialed into what they're going to play for, you know, play with for the year. So it's just our job to maintain it, make sure it stays to the specs that they have as far as lies and lofts and that kind of stuff, and just dial them in with new wedges and regrips that when needed. But, I mean,
has there ever been an instance in the past where the players traveling there and their golf clubs get lost by the airlines or something?
Yeah, I mean, it happens for sure. But, I mean, we've got everything documented in a computer, so if a player calls and says, look, my bag's not here and I don't know where it is or it's still stuck in wherever, we have all the specs in the computer and we can build it and have it ready for them, and I can order a bag and have it there the next day. So everything that they have in their bag that's our equipment, they have ready to go.
So now you're on site. How many days of the week are you on site for each tournament?
I usually fly in on Sunday nights, and I'm there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And if, you know, by Wednesday at noon, if they don't have it, I jokingly say this, there's nothing I can do for them. But we usually have everything prepared for those guys mid morning on Wednesday. And that was kind of the thing. I had an incident this week where Shane Lowry was practicing and warming up on Monday and his utility club was not working. And we ended up finding out that and it happens all the time out there where guys break the face or crack a groove or whatever, and his bottom groove was cracked, and it was just amazing how poorly he was hitting it. We go to the trailer, 25 minutes later, we bring one out to the range, he hits it first two shots, and he goes, all right, perfect, thanks. That's it.
Hey, Rob, we were talking to a club fitter, a good friend of ours, you have run across his path, Bobby Van Sweden.
I know the name. I don't know if I've ever met him, but I've heard of the name.
Well, he told me something I didn't realize at the Valspar. So you guys have to be off the property with your trailers by the time the competition starts. Is that correct?
Yes, we usually pull out. I mean, it's funny when we first started. I mean, I've been doing this for 27 years with Precept for three in Cleveland for the last 24. And Cleveland and Circus on the last 24. We used to leave at 5:30 or 6 o'clock on a Wednesday, and we'd get home at midnight, catch the last flight out. And now the tournaments are just getting to the point where they need parking spots, and they're pushing us out the door pretty early on Wednesday. So our guys know by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, or noon, it's time for us to start packing up and moving down the road to the next event.
Hey, I'm from Iowa, and I wondered if your paths have run across this guy. I had a show back in Iowa for quite some time. Pat Dunphy, your
know
paths?
Pat very well, and his brother Mike Dunphy runs our developmental tour program. He manages that, and so yes, I know them both. Pat's a great guy. Mike's awesome and great. I mean, Pat's no longer with us, unfortunately, but Pat's a great. I love Pat.
I haven't talked. I moved here 7 years ago, and I lost his contact information. I might even text you for it because we became pretty close. I love that cat, and I met Mike as well. Great family, man.
Oh, no doubt, they're great guys, and I mean, both were an asset, a huge asset to the company and our growth.
Well, you knew, John Rager, that I'd get an Iowa plug in there somewhere, brother.
I know you would do. It's Rob's only listened to our show one time. It's tonight, but I can tell you that if he did every week, we get an Iowa plug in there. Hey, Rob, I want to ask you a question. How many weeks a year are you on the road doing this? I mean, how, do you go to every PGA Tour event, or how many do you do?
I do anywhere from 32 to 38, depending on the year and what's going on. And there's, you know, there's a lot of weeks in between that we do a lot of product development with the players. And, you know, we go, I say go to their homes, we go to their home golf course. And this is a time, this is a cycle time for us where we're testing new golf balls and new drivers and new irons. So we spent a lot more time on the road last year and in between tour events, going to Bears Club and going to the Grove and, you know, just and working with the guys and testing product.
I have a question for our audience that's out there listening that just maybe started golf and isn't familiar with the distribution process, you know, at the retail level, wholesale. Can the consumer in today's world with streaming and online shopping, can they go directly to Strixon or
yes,
Cleveland and buy?
Yes, they can. Our website now is set up to where you can, and when I say go custom, get custom fit, yes, you can. I mean, I would recommend going to the best fitter in their area, figuring out what they need. If Strixon is the brand that they're looking for, mm-hmm. get fit for it. And then you can go, you know, write down all the details. You can go right to the website. It's Dunlop Sports USA is our group, and that's the Zexio brand, the Cleveland brand, the Strixon brand, and the Dunlop brand. And the consumer can go right online and order exactly what they were fitted for.
Well, things have
changed. Rob, I know you were a great stick back in the day. And I know that the nature of what you do, you're always around golf all the time, especially the world's best players. Do you take time out when you're not traveling to play a little golf somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I've had quite the weekend. I was out in San Antonio the week before, flew back home, and then I went out this weekend, and not to be boastful, played in the member guest at Whisper Rock out in Scottsdale with a real good friend of mine. And then flew back Sunday morning, drove right to Augusta. So it's been a pretty eventful last 10 days. I'm not playing as well as I did, John. I just went down a couple weeks before. I had a week off. Went down and worked with Rick Smith at Doral for a couple days, trying to get dialed back in, and it was amazing what we did and what we accomplished in 2 days, because I actually played pretty decent when I went out there. I mean, I had some bad holes, don't get me wrong, but it's a member guest, and I had a really good partner, Bob Sauerberg, and just had a blast.
So with the
majority, it's incredible that you dropped the name Rick Smith. I remember back in the Bloomingdale days, I remember Rick Smith got his start over Imperial Lakes in Lakeland.
That's where
I remember,
right.
And he ran into a 14-year-old Lee Jansen, you know. It's just a... That's the luck. You just got these coaches are great coaches, but sometimes it just takes like a young player and a coach. For example, like Randy Smith from Texas, is Scotty Scheffler's coach, and it's really amazing how some of these people have really gone on and they've watched their junior golfers grow up. And of course, for me, all my junior golfers now are champion tour players. They're they get a little long in the tooth.
Yes, I completely understand that. I remember going back something, it was probably 20 years ago, and going to Royal Oaks and hanging out with Randy and doing some testing and all that, and he introduced me to this kid, Scotty Scheffler, like when he was 7. And I'm watching him hit balls, and I'm watching him hit pitch shots, and I'm like, oh boy, this... And he said he was going to be a prodigy, and he was spot on.
Last week we had a guy on. We have him on several times. He's kind of a character out of Texas, Michael Furr. I don't know if you've run into him. He's the guy that, well, Michael said he ran into him in his youth, and they called Scotty Scheffler String Bean.
Yes. I mean, if you see the old pictures of him, you made the reference of 24-inch waist. I mean, we were right there together probably at that age.
You know, one of the interesting things you talk about looking, seeing Scotty Scheffler before he was, famous, you could just tell. I had the great opportunity about, 8 years ago, somewhere around there, I met Alejandro Posti, who played really well in the Texas tournaments. And, I could just tell the kid at that time, he played golf at University of Florida, so he wasn't like, a totally unknown, but you could just tell they have it. It's just the contact they make with the ball, just the rhythm, timing, tempo, the natural ability they have, you can just tell. But Tosti, he's not that big of a guy, but man, he's like a butterball, mighty might kind of guy. He's really solid and thick, And he's not that tall, but, man, he can just launch it out there.
And
I look at Scottie Scheffler, who's really tall and can really launch it out there.
I mean, Toasty had a great event in Houston, and fortunately, good for him, he got the he played so well that he's getting into the RBC next week in the elevated event.
Oh, that's fantastic! There. That's great to hear.
Yeah. So we've been doing a lot of work with Toasty this year, just trying to get everything, all the equipment dialed in, and he's an outstanding player. I mean, the thing is, he can have an average round, and then he can go shoot 60-0 the next day. It's just incredible how good he can play. And he's got a huge opportunity next week at RBC, and I'm rooting for him big time.
Now, so, Rob, are you going to be at the Heritage, RBC
yeah,
Heritage?
I will be there Tuesday, and Wednesday.
I have a great friend of mine, and I know that you're probably busy in the evenings or so, but his name is Greg Russell, and he performs under the big tree, the Liberty Tree.
Okay.
Right there in the middle of everything. And you got to go up to Greg and say hello and tell him John Rager said hello. And
I certainly
Greg
will.
Has been doing this for 45 years, and he's
wow.
They had a movie just on Netflix just made about him.
Really?
He's played under that tree. He used to live in a van, like it's like 1971 or something like that when he started playing down there. And the owner of Hilton had saw him one day and says, "Hey, where are you living?" And he says, "Well, I'm living in my van. I'd like to live in one of those places up there." The very next week, the owner of Hilton Head gives him the key to a condo right there, right where all the yachts are and the whole deal.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
But he's probably the most famous guy at Hilton Head. But you say hello to him, and he'll make sure he'll show you the ropes. He performs every night. I'm not sure when they start back up. He may not be performing yet, but he's royalty there at Hilton Head. So,
well, that's good.
Cool. You might get a free steak dinner out of that. Who knows?
We're staying right there, so I'll definitely look for him.
Well, Rob, I appreciate you taking time to join us. Now that I've got you in my Rolodex, unfortunately, I'll probably reach out to you from time to time.
No problem.
And have some conversation, and I'll definitely text you and get Pat Dunphy's contact information, because he'll be shocked, or he won't. I've been very blessed in my years, and I'm as John can attest to, I'm a horrible hack. Everybody in the world has tried to work with me, but I have such a love for the game that I enjoy this immensely, especially talking to guys like you and all the contacts.
Thanks for the time, guys.
Yeah, Rob, Mike's golf swing can be described as two bulldogs having a fight in a burlap sack in a phone booth.
I'm about right there these days, John. I might need to come down and play a few rounds with you and tell me what I used to do, because I played so poorly the last 10 years that all I want to do is remember that once I really was, I thought was a pretty decent player back in the day.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's tough with the nature of what you do for a living. Because there's a lot of technical aspects of what you do, obviously, getting
right.
these tour players fitted for clubs and all the different analytics and data that goes into it. You just might have paralysis by analysis.
There is a good possibility that is the case.
All right, my friend. I'm sure you'll be watching. Like I said, you've got some horses there. You'll be watching them for the next 3 days, and I bet that's got to be kind of thrilling as well.
It's fun to see Ryan Fox play well today. He was good talent and struggling, and I think he's finally figured it out. So it was nice to see.
Tied for six, 3 under par.
Yep.
Yeah, that's got to be fun, because it's almost like, you know, watching your horses. You guys got an investment in it, and seeing how they finish, it's got to be extremely exciting on the manufacturer's end.
No doubt. I mean, it's an honor.
Or disappointing, depending on the outcome. But you've got a very impressive stable, as they say. But again, Rob, thanks for taking time to join us on the T Florida.
You got it. Thanks, fellas. I really enjoyed it. Thanks so much.
Take care.
All right. I know it's late in the game, but let's take a quick 3-minute break up there, Juan, and then we'll come back, and John and I will break down who we think, looking at after day one, pretty much for the most part, the big guns have completed their rounds, who will be wearing the green jacket on Sunday. We'll be right back on the T Florida.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Berg's Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central, across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action, along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Berg's Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Berg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back. We've got a few moments to wind things down. John Rager up there in St. Augustine, Florida. Mike Ricker down here at Berg Sports Bar and Grill. And I want to thank Bill Butner for his call coming down, our other pro, and Tom Gribben in earlier. And, of course, our new sponsor, On the Tee Job Carts, LLC. Message Tim, mention On the Tee Florida. You get 10% off. Go to their Facebook page, and don't break the bank on golf carts until you talk to these guys. And as I said, with a 10% opportunity for discount, you spend, let's say, $3,300. I'm looking at one right now for $3,300, 10%. Use that for accessories. They've got accessories for every golf cart, and they don't have the overhead of the brick and mortar, and they'll find a cart for you. And then, of course, our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka and Sea Dogs Brewery down there on the Intercoastal and Treasure Island, Blind Pass Road, and, of course, their beer Shipyard Brewing. And Michelob Ultra, supporting all of the leagues that we do. We just wound up a league, and the fellas want to rock and roll again. So we'll put that together. John, we'll put that together, and we'll facilitate it. And I had some other young guys down here, Ferg, with the two simulators, ask me as I came on the air if we have leagues. So we'll probably get a couple summer leagues going as well, because we know how damn hot it is down here, John, in Florida. Great time to take advantage of the simulators, some cool beverages, and then go over to a Rays game.
Well, Mike, you know, now's a good opportunity for the John Rager Golf Report on the Tee Florida. Not only will you find a weekly report about golf travel and lifestyle, you can now listen to the archives on RadioStateGeek.com, FloridaSportsStreams.com, YouTube, and Mic'd Up Social. Follow the John Rager Report on social media on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and Threads. Visit JohnRagerGolf.com and OnTheTeeFloridaGolf.com for the latest news and updates from the world of golf. The report today is the cut at the Masters. And I know we were getting ready to talk about who's going to be around for the weekend. And it's interesting to know that there used to be a 10-shot rule. If anyone within 10 shots of the lead would make the cut on Friday. And that changed in 2020. Chairman Fred Whitley changed that rule because he wanted to offer a more definitive way to be able to create a reliable way to predict who's going to be there on the weekend. So it used to be if somebody was minus five, okay, you could be plus five and still make the cut. Now they do it just to the low 50 players and ties. So that was a controversial move at that time because it was tradition to have that 10-shot rule, but it's no longer there. So from the first round, if you take a look at it, you know, Bryson's 7-under. So let's say that was the score going into the weekend. Anybody at plus three would make the cut. Well, you're talking, when you get to plus three, you're talking into the 70s as far as the field. You're talking to the lower end of the field. I don't think even if they had the 10-shot rule that would cut it this year, because I think that the cut's going to be low, and the top 15 ties is a much more reliable way to do it. But there again, John Rager Report. Go visit OnTheTeeFloridaGolf.com, and you'll see this, and you'll see all kinds of other things, especially trying to get into our golf leagues. I know we have one coming up sponsored by Mick Ultra.
Well, right now, of course, on our Michelob Ultra leaderboard, Bryson DeChambeau in the house shot a sizzling 65 today. He's sitting at 7-under and one stroke behind, of course, the chalk, the Scottie Scheffler, the world's number one right now, just one back. And Tiger Woods sitting at 1-under. That'd be superb if he could make the cut. John, break that record. I know Freddie Couples is a good buddy of his, but I'm sure Freddie wants that record broken by his good friend Tiger.
Absolutely. That'll be a one for the ages again. Hey, you know, while we're at it, you know, we're talking about the weather. Let's talk about the Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report, brought to you by Yank and Crank. Extreme fishing fashion, what golfers wear when they're fishing. So if you go to Augusta National on the Weather Channel, you'll see that it feels like it's 76 degrees. That's not too bad. 44% humidities. But the winds are constant out of the southwest at 18 miles per hour. And if you look at the forecast for the weekend, it's going to be about the same all weekend long. So it's going to be the windy players out there that are going to have the best chance up in Augusta, Georgia. And there you have it, Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report, brought to you by Yank and Crank. Go to yankandcrankmyshopify.com and buy a hat.
All right, so as you take a look at the leaderboard, as a lot of the big guns have already wound up, are you sticking with... Do you feel comfortable with your picks?
Well, you know, you always do this. You make your picks, and then you look at the leaderboard, and you're going, I don't know, but there's a lot of golf to be played, and tomorrow will be the defining factor. In fact, on the Masters app, when you pick your teams, if somebody misses a cut, you can replace them, so you can actually do that.
They want to keep you on that website, which, as we mentioned, I'm telling you, folks, it is user-friendly. If I can use it, it's very user-friendly, and I was just enamored in it today.
Well, my pick was Scottie Scheffler was one of them, but if I go down the list, a lot of my players now, Rory McIlroy's tied for 17th at minus one, so that was a wise pick. But then I look down to Scheffler, and I look down to Brooks Koepka, and they're way down the list right now, so they're going to have to go out and have a decent round tomorrow to have a chance to help me in the fantasy.
A lot of golf left. All right, we've only got a couple minutes. Your favorite, Vern Lundquist, is it the Jack Nicklaus or the Tiger Woods call?
Well, the favorite call I have is and there you have it, is probably the best way to do it. You know, if you go Google Jack Nicklaus in 86 hitting his shot into the 16th hole, he and Tom Weisskopf was also announcing there. And it was prophetic when they announced it. It's a great clip. You know, go to Google that clip. But obviously the 86 Masters probably for me was the more spectacular call from Vern Lundquist.
All right, buddy.
But I think Tiger's right up there too, especially how the ball fell in the hole. They zoomed in on the Nike logo. It was, can't beat that.
From the Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, I'm Mike Rickard. For John Rager, Tom Gribben, Justin Sheehan, Rob Walters, Bill Butner, Joe Bedrol on the controls, and Juan up there in Clearwater. Thanks for listening to On the Tee Florida. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. Remember to keep it in the short grass. Enjoy the 88th Masters and hit them straight.